Welcome to Integration Excellence, the podcast around enterprise integration and interface management. We explore topics related to integration in the SAP world and beyond. My name is Adam Kivon. I'm an SAP integration expert, book author, trainer, and founder of White Paper Interface Design. Enjoy. All right. Yeah. Welcome to another episode of Integration Excellence. And today I have the honor to have a guest with me from the US, Chris Carter. Nice to have you.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Yeah. So, Chris, we've been figuring out actually that we are former colleagues. Both have been working with SAP. Of course, I'll give you the mic to introduce yourself. But very briefly, we have been both working at the same company. So we have kind of a common mindset, if we can say that. We share a common legacy. And we've both, started our own businesses. Yeah. So you will be explaining a little bit what you are also doing with your company, Aproio, in a far bigger scale than we are, but super, super interesting what you did. And you've been also writing books, yeah, in the area. You have your own series, Mastering SAP. I'd love to hear about that a little bit more. But yeah, before we jump into our topic, our today's topic is SAP AI with Joule. Please, Chris, very welcome and introduce yourself.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And as a fellow S user ID employees, I'm excited to be on the episode. I'm almost close to my 100th podcast of the year. So I'm really excited that this is actually the first time that I've actually had a fellow colleague that is going to be part of the interview process. Nice. I've been very blessed. I started working with SAP while I was in university at the Georgia Institute of Technology, or Georgia Tech, as we call it in the United States, the number 7 ranked football team in college football, by the way. Anybody there? I'm very blessed. I actually was working at Coca-Cola in the R2 environment before they received their R3 environments and started my process and my journey from there. And I actually started when the R3 revolution hit. It was great because I literally just grabbed onto that bandwagon and I joined SAP America, did my trainings out of the Atlanta offices and the old chess pieces, and started my process going from Philadelphia to New York to Palo Alto to you name it. Wherever they wanted to send me, I was willing to go as a young individual and trying to grab as much knowledge as I can. So I literally started with an Apple IIe and a Commodore VIC-20 computers. Played on the R2 environment at Coca-Cola, and then x86 hit, and I went from there. Since that point in time, I've had a couple of companies that I've started. I've got 173 staff members around the globe right now, and we're very blessed that we're working full bore right now on the AI with Joule, with S4, with different migrations. I'd like to say it's going smoothly, but today, as everybody knows, the Azure environments for Microsoft are having some issues. So some of my team members have been pinging me all day long. Do you know what's going on? And not SAP's fault, I keep telling them. It's the Microsoft side. So, yes, so my colleagues are doing the same and very happy to be here. So thanks again for having me.
Nice, nice. Great. Cool. Yeah, excellent. So, yeah, the main goal today, I mean, we already had a session and an episode with Sebastian around AI topics and also an introduction into AI. And we've covered already some parts about, what is a large language model and what are MCP servers and maybe agents. And we'll for sure discuss this more in detail in different, areas, because we also, look into Microsoft technologies as well as SAP technologies, of course. But today is about Joule and AI with Joule. So in a nutshell, or maybe even in a more detailed approach, please explain to me what it is about Joule, what it is in terms of, for me, I only have this term Copilot, as a you know, placeholder for that. But maybe you can explain a bit what it is about and what it helps.
Really, that's a great analogy. Because if we remember correctly, when Copilot first came out several years ago, the integration with SAP and Microsoft for Copilot was one of the first large-scale integrations that happened. And that because of that partnership that they've had for many, many years, and I'm sure Sebastian talked about this because he was part of that evolutionary process that's been going on at SAP. And he was actually just at SAP Connect a couple weeks ago in Las Vegas again, where I'm heading off to speak. But we literally had Copilot embedded with our SAP activities so we could go. It's just the same thing that they did with Copilot, Word, Excel, Teams. All these were embedded into our SAP environments. And the great thing with that is it literally gives us the ability to not have to leave our SAP landscape or our desktop that's going to have our different tiles and activities with it. Mm-hmm. And I love that analogy because it truly is an embeddedment of those tools right inside your database of truth. And I say that because within SAP, we have one database, and that's all you want. You don't want your partners. You don't want customers. Those are going to have some details inside of it, but you don't want to bring that fully into it. And so you have one database of truth. And Copilot and Joule, that's literally an entity that is going to have you using the truth from your pure SAP environments to be able to get the data that you need and require to be able to make the intelligent decisions, or you as a bigger, better, stronger employee, make those decisions and help with the decisions as you use Joule and Copilot.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so in general, I mean, maybe another analogy could be also great, because some people think of it maybe as well like a, you know, just like a proxy. Yeah, like a outgoing stage towards a large language model, which you can configure, but that is not the case, right? So there are options to connect and embed, like, you know, OpenAI large language models or Gemini or Anthropic or other models from within the SAP world, but Joule is not actually that, right?
That is correct. You can still embed those tools and those activities and those large language models, small language models. What Joule is really providing is, if you look inside of the SAP portals and the me.sap, you can literally bring out 400 different use cases, 40 different templates that are now available. And they run the gamut from whatever module that you're looking at. And it's really nice because their teams are really building out more and more to be helpful to us as consultants. We have Joule for consultants, which is fantastic. It's basically a repository for us to be able to answer questions based upon issues and tickets and so on and so forth, where we've built those into our own for our customers. We now can combine those. Well, individual companies can have the built-in templates for finance or HR or AP or for their HR components that they're doing for their travel management. And they'll integrate within the different components and applications that SAP has. So if you do use some of the other tools and you're using them for other components that maybe aren't built out yet, I'm not necessarily one that's going to go out and say, okay, I want all of ChatGPT's LLMs and I want to be able to. I'm more of a granular guy. I like SLMs, small language models. I like to be able to get very granular into the data that I'm working with a customer, be it when I'm trying to help them with finance data along a number of different entities to be able to understand their transition for holiday seasons. It's perfect right now. My wife sent me some text messages today about things she wants to acquire. And I'm looking at some of these for my customers. I want to get very granular when it came to different seasons and different activities and Black Friday versus Cyber Monday versus what is the other one? It's Black Friday, it's Cyber Monday, and there's one other one out there. I don't know what it is. And then, of course, you've got Thanksgiving and Christmas and all these times that people go, I like to get that granularity on it. So small language models activity with that as well helps very nicely.
Yeah, yeah, no, definitely. And so that means Joule is, so to say, a trained model for the SAP world, yeah, so to say, knowing the specifics of SAP, knowing the data model of SAP, and being able to connect with your own data, basically, right?
Yes.
Be it
focused on the SAP, the capabilities of SAP come through Joule because that's what it's learning on, and that's what it knows, and that's what it's built for.
Yeah, yeah. So it's not just, let's say, a proxy or a gateway into the own customer's database. It has the knowledge and you know the skills, let's say, the agentic skills, in order to interact with the data correctly, so that you can ask questions like, how was my revenue last month, or how many open invoices do I have? You know, simple finance related questions maybe that are not so simple sometimes to solve with SAP, right?
Sometimes, yes.
I remember being, in finance when I started, in 2000. Those were the times of report writer and all those kind of, early days. And it was not so easy to get those simple the questions answered, right?
Very true. ZapScript all over the place. Let's try and figure out what we got to report on, how we got to report it, what modifications do we need to make. Now we can do all that on the fly. And we can just literally do different prompting with inside Joule to get that data. And the wonderful thing that I think about is it's not built for everybody. It's built for those running SAP. And it knows, and that's why, and I'm sure Sebastian made references, that's why they want so much of the clean core. They want that clean core because that's what everything else is based off of. And so when you have the clean core and you have it clean, one data set that's your database of truth, everything comes off of that, and everything is available to them and you as a customer to be able to provide the necessary information that you're looking for. Bigger, better, faster, stronger. And it's, I love the way that they've designed that and templated that, and especially with the different use cases and the different templating that they've done with it now for the different industries. It's so much cleaner and easier. You know, I just even last year, I was still working with customers and putting in ChatGPTs, Perplexities, and Snowflakes, and different tools. And you would have to do so many different modifications and changes just to be able to get, let's say, 75% of the data accurate. Wow. Now, because it's coming from an S4 environment that you do not have the ability to make any modifications and changes in your cloud, it's bringing you the records of truth. And I love that. I want more truth in my SAP landscape than going forward.
So that, but does it also mean, on the other hand, that, you know, if you have some Z tables or enhancements connected, which are maybe not clean, yeah, and then not, extended the core in a classical way, let's say, that they are not covered and that they are not cannot be, assessed, or is it still possible to connect them somehow?
So that's a great question because I get that question all the time. What about some of my Z tables? Not everybody has a greenfield clean core environment. You've got some blue cores and you've got some brown cores, not many brown fields these days, thank God. But that data still can be populated into and with Joule because it's coming through the flow and it's still being utilized in the main core of an S4 environment. Because the main core is still going to always be hosted inside of SAP's tenants.
Of course.
And that data is all going to be put together in a nice, clean package, even if it's a Z code activity. So it'll draw from that database, knowing what it knows, and you help learn it. You help teach it what it needs to know to be able to draw that information out so you can. It takes a little bit of a tweak, not a lot. It's a great thing. It's not a lot of tweaking, but it still has the ability to be able to bring all that together. And that's why they try to minimize all the Z codes if possible. I know customers that they're literally wiping away decades of Z codes and hundreds of them and minimizing them down. And it helps everybody, to be honest. Let's be honest. If you're running that and you got to modify that and you got to update that and you got to continuously test against it, the modifications and the cleaning process is so much easier.
Yeah. Oh, I can imagine. But before I ask you about, side-by-side extensions and how they can be connected, maybe one question. How is SAP progressing with the, is S4 completely covered by Joule? Is any, CDS view, any object, any, content of the S4 system, which is not small, right? Mm-hmm. Accessible in any version? Or is it,
No, not yet. Not in any version. They're still saying that the end of 2027 with modified cases are going to be the end dates for everybody. And then most customers think that that's maybe changeable. I hope they don't change it. I hope they tell everybody you must be on the platform by the end of 2027. It's going to help everybody out, not only from customer standpoints, but also from user standpoints, tool standpoints. You've got all these great third-party tools that are out there that are still not compliant with S4 per se and with other with the updates that are going on. And I want to be able to use Joule or other tools in a capacity that's going to allow me to do that. And so my hope is 2027 is the end date. 2028 and beyond is for those companies that have very, very difficult and unique SAP environments. And then those come into the fold. At the end of the day, and this might not be one of those comments that people are going to text you, give me his LinkedIn contact. I want to talk to this guy because he doesn't know what he's talking about. I've been doing this since 1989. I've seen the evolutions. I've seen the changes. I've seen the updates every year. Heck, I even go back to mysap.com and some of the changes before experiment and all that stuff. I want to see a system in place. SAP is a great application when it's used properly, it's built properly, and it's maintained properly. You do all those and you do that in a clean environment and you put that up into an Azure cloud, an AWS, whatever the cloud may be, or a customer data center with Dell and IBM HP. But when you have that system and that system of record for an organization, it minimizes the risks that we have. It minimizes security flaws. It minimizes the loss that we could have. And then you're using tools like Joule and you're using some of the other new BTPs and activities that we have. That makes it a lot easier for companies running SAP, companies managing their infrastructure, us as consultants that are supporting these organizations, your three-letter acronyms, EWM, IBPs, so on and so forth, CRMs, are going to be in different tenants. So that's why Joule is so important with the templates that they've done and with the use cases that they've built. And, 400 plus use cases, and now you're using that for those. You've got some extensions that may come in from other applications. It makes it so much more easier, concise, stronger, more secure for all of us to be able to leverage at the end of the day. And I use my S4 on a daily basis. I'm continuous on there with my HR teams, finance teams, whoever. So it's not just me eating my own dog food. It's everybody in the, to be honest.
Yeah. No, that's really great. Okay,
I'm done with those, Adam. No more soapboxes.
Okay, great. But, I understand that, the old world like ECC and everything that has been around for a while and hopefully not for so long anymore, that this is not well connectable to Joule, right? So it really comes also from a UI perspective, at least from my understanding, rather from the Fiori side, right? So you are, SAP is trying for a long time already to, bring also the users onto the browsers, onto Fiori only, not having this, sub GUI anymore, the old approach, which is still visible in many companies, running S4 on-prem.
Yeah. Yes.
But I think we hopefully get rid of it one day, and also for the sake of the users, which are not so much enjoying it,
yeah,
I guess.
I don't get some of the users. And here, one of my philosophies on that piece of it, and that's why I think having the Fiori tiles, having the different uses, activities, and getting rid of that GUI is so important. First thing you have is you have a problem. We have a problem in the SAP ecosystem. We're old. We have the oldest technology environments, individuals in any ecosystem. You don't get people coming out of university just saying, you know, do I want to play with AI or do I want to play on SAP?
Of course.
Really doing that. And, you know, I was a kid, I was lucky enough, I got to play with SAP while I was in my university, while I was at Georgia Tech. And then I fell in love with it and said, this is going to be my career. I was going down a different path. And we really need to get younger in the SAP ecosystem, because I've talked to the people at DSUG, I've talked to the people at ASUG, and I fly around the world looking, and I go to these events and I look at them. It's like looking in a mirror. I'm 56 now, and I still love playing with this. And I know I don't look 56. I look more like I'm 36. But
yes, definitely.
They are old. We are old in this ecosystem. And so people are not willing to change their roles and what they do and how they do their business. And that's why we see a lot of the GUI yet out there. And it's amazing. Companies that I go in and talk to, I just talked to a global trucking manufacturer, and they literally had people just irate. I don't want to go to this. I don't want. And we're like, it saves you time. It saves you energy. Instead of doing 14 different touch points down, you do two. You hit that, and then you hit that. What's wrong with that? And they just feel uncomfortable. They don't feel like they want to learn that. And so, yeah.
Yeah. But I also see that people underestimate the power of gamification, you know, even for our age, you know. And I don't enjoy working with, you know, old school or old fashioned or terrible UIs. This is so painful, right? And it's not needed in those times. And I still remember when there was the transition from R2 to R3, you know, with this mainframe screens, black things, and people were so much used to it and they loved it. You know, they had the function buttons and then they were clicking three times on PF13 and whatever and two. And you know, they knew this, you know, but. But the learning curve to get there was terrible. And the same thing happens now. Even if it's a, you know, mouse-based system, it's still, you know, got so old and terrible. So, yes.
Yeah, so there is a good reason. As well, that it updates and people are going to be forced to move that forward and then to be able to go from there.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, there is a very good reason why, you know, the Joule is embedded in the Fiori only, or in the browser, let's say, only. Sure. And then, connected to all the, let's say, as of now, up to date technologies of SAP, right? I don't know, to be honest, I don't know the coverage. Is it really all of them? Like all the IBP, all the,
not all of them yet. No, not all of them. They're still moving through that scenario. There's, as a matter of fact, at, SAP Connect, there was a timeline that they were showing on how they want to get there and their dates. And they pretty much hit their dates. I'll give them that. But there are still some of those, the IBPs, EWMs and such, that they're still working through those date scenarios.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah, let's see. I mean, next week will be SAP TechEd in Berlin. So let's see what they will be telling. Maybe they will reveal some other, you know, timelines or accelerations even. I don't know.
You have Berlin. We've got... the SAP, well, SAP TechEd is a virtual, but we also have the one that's sponsored by ASUG that's going on in Louisville next week. So we've got a lot of, there'll be a lot of information being shared back and forth. I'm speaking at three different events this next week. So I'm going from Las Vegas to Phoenix to Louisville, actually four, and then back to Las Vegas. So I'm speaking a lot on that.
That's really great. And is it always the Venetian? No, it's not always the Venetian.
No, it's not. So this year, the SAP event is in Louisville, Kentucky. So that one's there. I've got to speak at another one that is at Resort Worlds. That was the same place that we had SAP Connect 3 weeks ago, two or three weeks ago. I just hung the thing on my door. And then I'm going to another event after that, and that's going to be in Phoenix, Arizona, in Scottsdale.
I'm also actually putting all of them, you know, all the member attendance, you know, however you call them, at the door, you know. It's so funny. I sent you a picture. It's funny. Maybe it's an SAP thing. I don't know.
It's got to be.
Okay, but maybe another question for because, you know, I see a lot of customers as well doing, meanwhile, a lot of side-by-side topics and you know, building their own microservices, actually their own applications, be it on, you know, the CAP, the cloud application programming model, or RAP, you know, SAP ABAP in the cloud on BTP, Steampunk. Yeah? And I was wondering, they sometimes also have their own persistency with their own database, you know, their own data model. So how hard is it to even get those into Joule or connected to Joule? Because this does not happen by SAP.
Yeah, it's not an SAP. And sometimes some of them, those tools are certified, at least certain ones are certified that you can have integration activities with, especially when you've got applications that are currently not a part of the Joule usage cycle. So there is some technical on the background, and then there are some directives you've got to put together with APIs. At least everything's got an API that you can leverage data and you can leverage back and forth. You're building your own LLMs or SLMs, and you're bringing that information. Bringing in outside data, literally they're considering whatever you're pulling from SAP to be outside data. So it's connectability, it's usability to be able to do those things with it. And you can set up, just takes a project, a normal project that we would set up and do.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So that has to be really connected by the customer, by themselves, or by, you know, consultancies, you know, professional services. Okay, that sounds great. And how about the usage of Joule? I mean, as a, maybe for different use cases, as a typical producing company or you know, manufacturing company or SAP customer, if they want to use Joule, is it free of charge? Is it charged extra? Is it, you know, coming with some specific licensing model?
Well, that's a great question, because nothing in this world is free, including my wife's love for me. But as a matter of fact, I just did a licensing engagement for an organization this morning, and there's an API line item that's mandatory on there now. So it's a part of every license engagement now. And there are costs. Some are a little bit lower than other costs associated with what you're going to do and how you're going to use it and what applications you're going to build it as part of. So there are costs associated with everything. Now, they brought down the number of users tremendously, and they brought down the cost tremendously. They want us as end users to use the tools, because at the end of the day, it also helps all of us in the SAP ecosystem, from no matter what cloud you're decided to go to, from S4 to how we're going to leverage it for our data. So I was very happy to see that. But there is cost associated with it, and it really varies depending upon what you're going to data, what system you're going to have record you're going to be using, how you're going to use it. And it can get very confusing. So make sure that you talk to a certified partner like one of us and can help them through that process.
Yeah, and that means that very likely, you know, in that case, if it, you know, even if it was for free, still you have to deal with it, you have to, you know, manage it, you have to, you know, set it up and everything. But in the end, even especially if there are licensing costs around it, there is very likely a kind of, you know, value assessment taking place in advance, right? Before customers, they would not be jumping on it like, oh, it's AI, I love it, I have to use it. Usually still, I mean, even some do, right? But still, most management representatives would say, like, okay, what it's in for me, and then does it accelerate the work? Does it speed up things?
What's my ROI?
Exactly, right. So this is something you are doing.
We have to. It's mandatory. Yeah. We have to go through the trainings for that as someone who is a gold partner with SAP and with licensing capabilities. Mm-hmm. We sit down and we have to literally draw out an ROI sheet with them, and we'll work with them on hows and whats and whys, how they should be using it, how they can leverage it for to betterments of their company, the betterment of their specific organization modules that they're going to use it for. So there's mm-hmm. all these different ROI components that we can help them with, and we try to leverage that activity. Plus, SAP has got some fantastic training they give us. We got to get certified in those processes, and I'm very fortunate I passed those exams. And mm-hmm. we go forward and we help them every single day that we can to get a betterment of why making AI a central focus point of an organization and then building off of the Joule and your AI go forward strategy, why that's a betterment for everyone at the end of the day. So if you start with AI and go off from there, in my opinion, it's a betterment for any organization.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, definitely, definitely.
I'm an AI guy, so I say that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I try to become one. To be honest, I'm still, I feel very far away from AI. I sometimes know the terms and I know how to, you know, navigate a little bit. You know, if someone told me, like, what is Olama or what is... you know, DeepSeek or whatsoever. I meanwhile learned how to, you know, differentiate all of them and what it means and so on. But still, I wouldn't be able to build my own agents or MCP servers or whatsoever. I don't know. This is
a lot more difficult than people think. And
yeah,
you know, there's tools out there that'll help you with that kind of stuff. And that's one of the, you know, it's interesting with us in the SAP ecosystem. I talk to organizations all the time. I said, oh, I'll just get Joule and I'll be able to do this coding. I'll be able to do this. Not necessarily. You cannot use the same tools for everything across your company. You've got sales and marketing over here that's different than this. Now, if you're going to use it as part of the CRM package and you're going to do go back and forth between maybe SAP and Salesforce.com up in the cloud, there's all these different components. And you've got to make sure you're using the right tools to get the ROI that you're going to get out of that and make sure that you're trained up on those from a language model activity as well.
Yeah, yeah. No, definitely, definitely. And I mean, we are internally also using, you know, for our, you know, software development, we're using Cursor and along with also different models, right? Which is, I think, kind of a standard meanwhile in the ecosystem. But other things, like, you know, of course, everyone is, I guess, using ChatGPT for different tasks, and all the embedded, you know, when everyone is using Teams, and within Teams you have the Copilot, so you just click on it and you can also ask some you know, nice questions, and hoping that it's not hallucinating and
giving
wrong answers, right? So hopefully it has a good day. And then I just learned recently that you can tell the prompt that please be honest, you know, like be honest with me, you know, don't make up anything, you know, don't tell me,
don't sugarcoat it, don't lie to me. Be honest. Is this good, this bad? How does this work? What does this work with? How are you utilizing it? Can companies utilize it?
Yeah
exactly. Please don't lie to me.
Exactly. So you were mentioning as well that you are using Joule as well for the Joule for consultants, right? This is a specific version that, if I'm not mistaken, is available on the me.sap.com.
Me.sap, yes, the me.sap site.
And this is publicly available to everyone, or how does it work?
You can download it. But you may not be able to use all of the components and processes of it, because if you don't have the proper licensing activities, then you won't be able to do that.
Okay. So it comes also with an extra charge and also with an extra fee.
Yeah, but, there's for licensed users.
But this specifically for consultants, what does it actually do? I mean, it's not, you know, the simplification of the, you know, searching for notes and searching for or creating tickets easier. It's much more than that, right?
The Joule for consultants is, it allows you to access the knowledge repository of all of the hot packs, all of the tickets, everything that's been is part of the implementation, migration, and the go forward strategy for everything within SAP itself. And if you embed that, if you use that properly, you can actually take all of your tickets from your customers. Like we have a ticketing system and we mm-hmm. keep all of our tickets from our customers. You could utilize those as well and bring in the data that's necessary to make sure that your systems or your customer systems are at their most optimal and educate your employees.
So to have a even larger knowledge base, which can be accessed, and then having a more holistic approach to answer to those kind of requests, yes. Right? Okay, good. Okay, cool. Yeah. What else is there to say about? I mean, did we cover everything that is at least for a first round? What is needed to know about Joule, or is there anything you can reveal that we didn't cover so far?
So one of the things I want individuals and organizations who are looking at Joule is, remember, this is specific to SAP. Now, AI, in my opinion, is going to make us as humans bigger, better, stronger, faster. And I think with us in the SAP ecosystem, we now have a tool that just similar to all the other AI tools, bigger, better, stronger, faster, and makes us, because what we need to do is we need to be the ones that educate Joule, utilize Joule, prompt Joule, and to be able to leverage that tool to be bigger, better, stronger from a corporate standpoint. And so I'm excited by those activities and to be able to do that with Joule for, as an SAP exec or consultant, executive, whatever I am these days, for the last since 1980. And that's what I think is important. Remember the fact that you drive the bus. Joule is the bus. You have to be there. And the more that you know, the more that you learn, the better you're going to be at utilizing that tool. That's what I always like to say at the end of the day when I talk to organizations.
Yeah. No, that's right. That's a good statement. Thanks. Cool. Okay. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to share in our show notes, of course, your LinkedIn profile. And I think you are happy to connect with our audience. It's not only Germany. So we are now meanwhile kind of internationally present. Reach out to Chris. I think he's happy to connect with you.
Find me on LinkedIn. Find me on
LinkedIn.
I'm there to say you heard the podcast and you want to connect. I'm always willing to answer questions, help with ideas, thoughts. And if you need my company, if it's help for something, I'm more than happy to offer insight. But at the end of the day, I'm here to help make you bigger, better, stronger. And I'm just call me your next AI bot.
great. Yeah, that sounds good. All right. So I'm going to also share your books, right? Also one of them is specific to AI Joule, right? Yes. Mastering SAP in the back. Yes. So the printed version. Nice. Very good. Cool. Yeah. And so what else? You mentioned as well, maybe it was one last topic. You have your own podcast, right? You are recording.
I do not. I am. I love being a guest on others' podcasts. Okay. So this is actually my 96th podcast of the year.
My God! Of the year.
Of the year so far. I'm trying to get to 100.
Wow. That's a nice KPI.
I love to talk. What can I say? I love to help people. So
this is excellent. No, and very, very nice. Thank you. Thank you so much for your insights and for your input and for your time, Chris. That's great. And I look forward to another episode. Let's see when things are moving on. And actually, you can, repeat those kind of things all the time. And then things are changing so quickly. Meanwhile, that, it's hard to keep up sometimes. But yeah, it's great. I think. I enjoyed it a lot speaking to you. Thanks a lot, Chris.
Thank you.
So is there anything as a last words you want to say to our audience for closing the episode today?
I appreciate all of you. Please reach out anytime you want to. And remember, SAP is the best ERP solution on the planet. Just in case Christian is listening, he wants to know.
No doubt. No doubt on that. Thank you very much, Chris. It was a pleasure. And talk soon and hopefully meet soon.
Thank you. We will.
Bye.
How mature is your organization when it comes to integration topics? Find out for free with our integration maturity assessment at wint.co/IMA. That's wint.co/IMA. In case you want to take control of your integration landscape to increase transparency and automate your integration quality processes, please schedule a call at wint.co/contact. If you enjoyed the content, please like and subscribe to our podcast. See you next time.